message is titled Watch and Be Sober. Can we say that again? Watch and be sober. Amen. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And if you can just read for me, verse 5 and 6. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Let's read it from two different versions. Staronka.
All of you were people who belong to the light, who belong to the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, we should not be sleeping like the others. We should be awake and sober.
Good news version. Let's take another version, Sister Chipo. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6.
For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to the darkness. Accordingly, then, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us keep wide awake, alert, watchful, cautious, and on our guard. And let us be sober, calm, collected, and circumspect.
Amen. Hallelujah. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell them, say, be sober. That's God's message for you today. Now, I want you to understand that as believers, when we say be sober, we're not talking about carrying a sad, dejected, and depressed face all about. That's not the soberness we're talking about. As you can see from the different versions, the Bible says, let us stay alert. If I was to use today's, a more contemporary language, the topic today will be, instead of watch and be sober, it will say, stay alert and be clear-headed. Let's say that again. Watch and be sober means stay alert and be clear-headed. Hallelujah. I just show you that again. I'll show you another reason. Three places I'll show you today where the same message, three witnesses that God is telling you that as a believer, you are to watch and be sober. You are to stay alert and be clear-headed. That is your calling. If you are not being clear-headed, you are falling short of your calling as a believer. And anything in your life that will cause you not to be clear-headed is compromising your destiny. Every time you are not clear-headed, Satan has an opportunity, an inroad into your life. Let's say, be watchful and be sober. Open to 1 Peter 5. Let's look at again the same message. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Again, let's read it from two different versions or three. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8.
Be clear-headed. Keep alert. Your accuser, the devil, is on the prowl like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's have another version.
Okay. Be alert. Be on the watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams.
Be alert. Be on the
watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams round like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Amen. It says, be alert, be on the watch. Why? Because your enemy, the devil. One thing I try to make people understand is that even if you are the best gentleman in the world, you are very easygoing, you don't step on anybody's toe, And you are very good at avoiding others from stepping on your toes. Because sometimes you may not want to step on people's toes, but some people will want deliberately or not deliberately to step on your toes. No matter how nice you are, no matter how well you try, you still have an enemy. Is your hard sworn enemy. Is your enemy for life. You cannot appease the devil. Hello? I said you cannot appease the devil. No matter what you try. Yeah? He's still your enemy. Amen? So, whether you are fighting him or not fighting him, he's still what? Your enemy. See that? And how the devil works, yeah? He's a trickster. Yeah? He will use every means and method to manipulate you. And let me tell you, sometimes people feel that all the devil is after is their money or their health. Yeah? Or their blessing. Yeah? And it's true. The devil is after those things. But that's not the primary thing he's after. He's after those things for a reason. What the devil is primarily after is your soul. That's why the Bible says that what does it profit a man if I was to give you the whole world. Imagine how the Bible talks. Even if I give you the whole world. And don't you see it? When the devil was tempting Jesus, the devil told Jesus, he took him to the top of the mountain and said, he showed him all the greatest glories and beauties and the riches of the world to Jesus. Yeah, and said, I will give everything to you because it has been delivered to me. Did you know that? You know, I said it the other time. I said, God is in control of the world, but he's not in charge. Yeah, because if God was in charge, this world would not be in such a mess. You see, when Adam sinned, because when God made Adam, God being in control put Adam in charge. He said, have dominion. Have dominion over everything. So when Adam fell, who tempted Adam? The devil. Why did the devil tempt Adam? The devil will not tempt or accept, he's after something, isn't he? Yeah? It was after Adam's destiny. Amen. Adam had a destiny that God has already proclaimed. How do you know Adam's destiny? Go to Genesis 1. You will see it. The Bible says God blessed them and said, have dominion. Hallelujah. As we read it the other day, he said, take charge. Fill the earth. Be responsible. That was Adam's destiny. So Satan did not just tempt Adam for tempting sake. He tempted Adam because he wanted to inherit Adam's destiny. So, the glories and the riches of this world have been delivered to who? To the devil. That's why you have to work hard. Hello? In the new earth and the new heavens, you will still work, but it will not be hard work. It will be pleasure. You know when you go for holidays or when you go for like leisure centers or whatever? I don't know about you, but I know about my son, Sean. When my son is playing, he plays hard. And he doesn't mind because he's enjoying it. You see, so work is not the problem. Hard work is where the problem is. You understand? If you are doing something that you enjoy and that you want to do and that you are looking forward to do, and that every moment of what you are doing, you are enjoying it, then that work changes from hard work to pleasure. And in fact, it changes to leisure. Why does my son say, oh, daddy, I want to go swimming? He has swimming lessons, but he wants to go extra swimming. Swimming is work. You agree with me, yeah? Anybody doesn't swim here? Me. You know that if you ever tried, if I tried... I'm not giving up. I will try again. Maybe when all my children have learned, you know, I'll go privately. You have to do, there's some things you have to do privately. You understand? You know Nicodemus? He went to Jesus at night. Have you ever thought why he went to Jesus at night? He didn't go. He said he went at night. And you know when Nicodemus went to Jesus, he said something. He said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. He didn't say, I know. So we means that there's at least one more person with him. Do you know that person? You know Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Yeah, he was in the council. He was in the council. Yeah? So like when they wanted to crucify Jesus, he opposed. Do you know that? He opposed and they shut him up. Read over. Nicodemus opposed when they wanted to condemn Jesus and they shut him up. There was more other person that was also secretly following Jesus. Shall I tell you? Joseph of Arimathea. He was also a Pharisee. Eh? And that's why when Jesus died, he offered his grave. He said, we know that your teacher come from God. But he went at night. Why? Because he was afraid of the Pharisees. Amen. Let's come back. In the kingdom, in the new heavens, we will not just be sleeping. We will walk. But it will be like the walk that God gave Adam in the beginning. God made Adam and put him into paradise. And said, take care of it. Everything was pleasure. You don't need to go to the zoo. He was in the zoo. Live one. If he woke up and wanted to ride on the lion, he will ride. The lion will be happy. He'll be happy. They will be laughing at each other. Paradise. Amen. It's a lion. Roar, roar, roar. You know? And that's exactly what God's going to repeat. You see, the new kingdom is not just up there. Up there is now. It's temporary. Those who have died in Christ are up there now, temporarily. But the final plan of God is to restore this earth back to the original condition. Paradise again. Paradise was lost in Adam. Paradise will be restored. Amen. So let me come back to what I was saying. The devil was after the destiny of Adam. That's why he tempted him. Now, Adam was not alert. You understand? He was not alert. He did not keep a mindset that, look, I have an enemy who may come in at any time. He was not as alert as should be. And that's why he lost that which God has already given him freely. Amen. You see, you can lose what God has given you freely. God can give you some things in your life on a platter of gold. But if you are not watchful and if you are not sober, yeah, you can lose it. Amen. So the Bible says, be alert and be clear-headed. So the question you want to ask me is, how can you be alert as a Christian? Let me ask 2-3 answers. What can you do that will keep you alert as a Christian? Let's have like 3-4 answers. What can you do that will keep you alert? Now, before I say that, I want to explain something to you. You see, there's an identity problem. If you think that all your life is just about, okay, you know, I've studied well, I have some degree, I have a profession, and all I need to do now is work hard, have a good life, take good care of my kids, plan for the future, and all that. If you think that's what all your life is about, yeah, then there's an identity problem. Because that's for someone who doesn't know God. Every single person that God made, yeah, God put a destiny. There's something that God wants you to achieve with your life. You did not decide it, just like you did not decide your name. Of course, you can change your name now, yeah? But you did not decide your name. You did not decide your race. There are many things you did not decide about your life. You didn't decide your name. You didn't decide your country. You didn't decide your height. No matter how much beans you eat. Are you with me? I noticed when we were having the birthday celebration, I thought Bosha was tall. Then suddenly it looks like Sister Joe was taller. Although I know that there can be some techniques, yeah? But still, you know, we have to do a height competition in this church, yeah? Hallelujah. Yeah, many things you do not decide about your life. And so also that your destiny, the good one. Please don't misunderstand me. Your destiny is not anything that happens to you in life. Some people say, when somebody says, it's God's, it's his destiny. No. If everything is your destiny, then there's no devil. If everything that happens to you in your life is your destiny, that means the devil has gone on leave. Are you with me? The devil is your adversary, and his primary goal is to mess up your destiny. And that's why you have to be clear-headed, and you have to be alert. Amen. Now, let's go back to the question. How can you stay alert as a believer? Let's mention like I'm looking for 3-4 answers. What can you do that will help you to keep alert? Because I always tell people, I say, when you read something in the Bible and God tells you to do something, it's a command to you. Yeah? And that means that your blessing depends on that command. Yeah? Every word of God is a command. You know why? Because God does not change his mind. Yeah? God does not just advise you. He saw the end from the beginning. So when God speaks, you better take him seriously. Because he saw the end. It didn't occur to God. God is not playing dice. Or, you know, like, you know, okay, if you do that, maybe. He saw it. So when he said, this is the way, that means that is the way. If you take another way and it seems to be working, yeah, it's just a deception. Yeah, it means that give it time, you ultimately see the result. But he saw the end. So anytime God says, do something, it's for your own good. Amen. Okay, how can we stay alert as believers?
Praying without ceasing and letting the word of God guide us every time.
Amen. I know you're doing double. Let me do one. Praying. Please, let's go to Matthew 26 and look at why praying is a very important activity to keep alert. In fact, I could never say anything better than the first thing on the agenda to keep alert is prayer. And that's why they sing, prayer is the key. Prayer is the king. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. And you know, if you sang that song and you didn't understand the meaning, you know how Jesus started with prayer? He went into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he started his ministry. You know, I ended in prayer. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Matthew 26 is what we're, in Matthew 26, we are looking at the Garden of Gethsemane. It looks to me that if the Garden of Gethsemane did not happen, Jesus would have failed. Now, I know that may sound funny to your theology in a way that you're like, Jesus is Son of God, he can't fail. Jesus was every bit the Son of God as he was the Son of Man. And that's why most times you will see that Jesus sometimes will refer to himself as the Son of God. The next time he will refer to himself as the Son of Man. He could have failed. Because if he couldn't fail, yeah, then it's as if he just came to deceive himself. Yeah? He came as a man into human form. Yeah, he was subject to all the passions that we are subject to. He operated as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. I imagine that if Jesus did not need the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he wouldn't bother. I mean, if somebody knows they are going to be... Hallelujah. You know, there are many things you can learn from little children. I remember many times, you know, when will she need work? Where will she work? Eh? Hallelujah. One thing I've learned about spiritual things is patience is the key. You know, many times when you want to hear from God, you know why you don't hear from God as much as you want? Because you're impatient. And I've learned it. I find that if you're going to try to know the will of God, in so long it's not an emergency that you must make a decision, just put it on waiting. Pray and wait. You understand? It's like a test of your faith. And then you may just be washing plates. You may be driving. You may be doing something completely unrelated, and that instruction will come into your heart. That's how God usually works. You understand? You can't rush God. Hello? You can't rush God. You know why? He saw the end from the beginning. So you can't rush him. It's like if you're watching a video and a movie and someone, you know, you've watched it before. Yeah, and then your son comes and you know you're watching it maybe with your wife or your son, and she says, so what will happen? But you already know the end, you'll just be smiling. Yeah. If you're a nice man, you'll be smiling. If you're not nice, you just say like, look, this is what we have. You'll just spoil the whole movie. Hallelujah. You can't rush God. He knows the end from the beginning. So what you can do is trust God. Yeah? Trust God. Don't try to rush God. When you try to rush God, you will make a mistake. When you try to rush God, you open a door for the devil. Don't rush God. Trust God. Amen. It will come true for you. That's why I have a position, you know, in ministry that when I pray for people, yeah, I don't try to ask them, Alpha. Once I prayed, I'm expecting a testimony. It may take time, but I'm expecting a testimony. And I know that testimony will come. And my cooperation of faith with them is not to bother. Hallelujah. I trust in God that testimony will come. Amen. Because I believe that the moment I prayed, God has heard me. Hallelujah. And in so long I prayed in accordance with his will, he will answer. Hallelujah. Let me just chip this in. Yeah? Some people may stare at you and say, oh, you know, there's no formula for blessing. Yeah? Now God is the only one that just decides who he will bless and who he won't bless. Because God is sovereign. Yeah? If God wakes up one day, he's happy, he will bless you. The other day, you know. No, that's very inconsistent with who God is. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, if you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. He said, if you hearken to all my words and you obey what I'm telling you, hallelujah, then this and this and this will happen. Amen. You know, I want you to understand that mathematics is not the invention of scientists. The greatest mathematician is God. In mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2. That's the law of God. When God puts forth his word, yeah? If you follow his word, it will produce the result. Hallelujah. And I keep telling people, I said, you know, it should not be so difficult to believe. Because every time you eat food, every time you eat food, you are following that same law. The food you eat comes from a seed that was planted in the ground. Just imagine, think about it. The food you eat comes from what? A seed that was planted in the earth. That's where the food comes from. The meat you eat, anybody like beef? Anybody like beef? The beef you eat comes from grass. Hello, are you with me? What does? She's the right person. Because in our culture, they keep animal husbandry, yeah? Animal farming. Am I right? You know about this thing. You know how to milk a cow, yeah? Oh, amazing. Oh, I wish I can just take you to, you know, and then you get us milk. Free milk, yeah? If I travel, yeah, to your, free, we live with free milk, yeah? And then yogurt and what's the other one they used to? Cheese! God bless you. Yeah? What does cow eat? Grass! It's not even special vegetables. Or grass. Hallelujah. How great is our God? So you see that even nature itself is a miracle. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. It's what? A miracle. I was saying this to Sean yesterday. I said, it's not amazing that we're taking food and we grow air. We're taking food and we grow air. Isn't that amazing? Yeah? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah? The greatest amazing part of nature is in your body itself. It's not in your mobile phone. It's in your body. You take in food and you grow air. Hallelujah. God is great. So prayer is most important. You have to stay alert. And to stay alert, you must be prayerful. Let's go to Matthew 26. And verse 41. Am I right? Yes. Please, let's read verse 40 and 41. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41. Yes, I'll need two people to read. Yes, let's have mommy.
And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto them, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, and the flesh is weak.
Amen. Okay, thank you, mommy. Let's have another version. Sister Frieda. Can we engage you? Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41.
Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even an hour? Keep watch and pray, so that you will not give into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak."
Amen. Are you with me? Bible says, stay alert. It said, you see, can I just say this? Look at it. Matthew 26, verse 40. He said, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? And he says, keep watch and pray. Or we can say that this way, stay alert and be prayerful. Let me tell you, if the devil wants to attack your prayer life, you know the first thing he will use to attack it? From Matthew 26, verse 40. Sister Chibu. The devil wants to attack your prayer life. From Matthew 26, 40, what will he use? What is one of the things that we use to attack your prayer life?
Sleep.
Amen. He said, why are you sleeping? Please, can you turn to your neighbor? Look at them. They know themselves. Ask them, say, why are you sleeping? Amen. You know, when you are supposed to be praying, you know what the devil does? It will come and blow you some nice wind. And you will sleep. You know, we had this. I went to a boarding school for my secondary education. And it was said that, you know, if you go to bed at night with a oily hand, maybe, you know, oil of sardines, yeah? And you're in a boarding school that is full of rats, it's rat infested. While you are sleeping, they will come and they will be blowing nicely to your hand while chipping away gradually. You will feel nothing because they will be blowing nicely. And that's what the devil does. The devil comes in and, you know, he begins to mess some things up. But it will be blowing you to sleep. Yeah? Why are you sleeping when you should be praying? Amen. He said, I want to challenge you. You know? Like, for example, in the church, we have prayer before service. Push yourself. You have to. I said nothing good comes easy. I'm sure Brother Jay agrees with me. You know why he agrees with me? Because after 2 weeks of travel, he couldn't even spare one day to just rest at home. He had to wake up the next morning. Am I right? To work. Amen. Of course, everything that God has given you, he gave you free. You're not paying for anything that God has given you. But you have an enemy. And you are, whether you like it or not, you are locked in spiritual battle. Whether you like it or not. You understand? The only time the devil will not be so much better about you is when he has already got hold of your destiny. See, the devil is already sitting on your head. He will not bother because he's on your head. You are carrying him about. Are you with me? You have to pray. And praying on your own is important. Praying in church, it's also important. Because when you pray in church, you are stimulated to pray. You understand? So, you know, push yourself. Prayer before service. Come and pray. Push. You just have to push yourself. When we have prayer meeting, don't sit back. You know, push yourself. You got to, no, it will not come to you. Don't stay at home watching TV when there's prayer meeting. Push yourself. Of course, there are reasons why you may not be able to come to prayer meeting. If you are walking far away and you've traveled. I mean, but Tim, if you've traveled, how can I expect you to be? You travel Sunday afternoon. How can I expect you to be at prayer meeting? That's understandable. You know? If you are stuck with childcare and you're the only person, that's understandable. You understand? But don't find reasons to avoid prayer. Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor. Tell them. Say, so don't find reasons to avoid prayer. Find reasons to pray. Is that not a better approach? Find reasons. For example, like said, people. Sorry, I'm not picking on you. But even though I'm picking on you, I've done it for many years, and we're still friends. You know, you can, for example, you can tell Benjamin, you know what? Next Sunday, I'm not saying, I'm just describing. Okay, I'm not expecting you. I'm expecting you, but you know what I mean? I'm just giving an illustration. You see, I'm going to, you know, because if you don't plan ahead, it's not going to happen. okay, you know what? Let's have a deal. Just tell him, let's have a deal. Sunday afternoon, I'll give you your best meal. Sunday evening, you are going to be in charge of the children. Till bedtime. And I'm going to go out. Yeah? And part of what I want to do is to go for prayer meeting. Okay? Just, this is an illustration. I'm not being particular. You understand me? We have to push ahead. When you push ahead, it will happen. When you don't, the devil will blow like rats while he's digging in. Are you with me? We have to stay alert. And one of the ways we stay alert is by prayer. I want to round up, you know, in 5 minutes. So that will make this message like a 30-minute message, which is good. It's a standard. So one way the devil, yeah, we stop you from prayer is what? Through sleep. Yeah? So be aware. Do you know that you sleep for about 1/3 or 1/4 of your day? Am I right? I mean, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that's 1/3 of the day. If you sleep 6 hours a day, that's 1/4 of the day. Yeah? And I don't think you should be sleeping anything less than 6 hours a day anyway. You understand? I push myself, try to do 7 hours. When I miss it, I try to catch up. Sleep is a very important part of your health. And this applies to men. Men sleep late. Yeah, and then they complain. You understand? Push yourself, you know, to sleep on time. Your body will benefit. Amen. But if you are sleeping 6 hours a day, which is normal, which is standard, you will have slept 1/4 of your life. And it actually is more. Because when you are a baby, you sleep more. When you are a child, you sleep more. Are you with me? And if you become very, very old too, you may be sleeping more. So you see that you're going to sleep away all your life and your destiny is waiting. So beware of sleep. Especially when sleep becomes an excuse not to pray. What I found out about prayer is that the moment you can push yourself a little, the moment you take yourself to that prayer place, yeah, God will help take the rest and do the rest for you. Amen. Let me show you quickly some other things that the devil will use to stop you from praying. Because the devil knows that in so long you are not praying, yeah, he can enter as he likes. Are you listening to me? The devil, let me say this, stop. Yesterday as I was, you know, what was I doing? Was I shaving or having my shower? The Holy Spirit just spoke to me very clearly. He said, the proof that you are ready for your personal breakthrough is that you stop blaming other people for your predicament. It doesn't matter whether other people caused it, but your breakthrough is not going to happen based on other people. Your breakthrough is going to happen based on when you take responsibility for your life. Your breakthrough is going to happen when you take responsibility for your destiny. Your breakthrough is going to happen when irrespective of what other people have done or what other people are doing, you decide that you will move forward. Are you listening to me? Blaming other people will never, even if they legitimately they have wronged you, blaming them will never give you a breakthrough. Amen. You will take responsibility for your life, irrespective of what any other person is doing, and say, I'm moving forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That is the first step to your breakthrough. Amen. And I believe that's the word that those people want to communicate to you. So look at your life, look at your situation. Irrespective of what's happening around, irrespective of what others have done, irrespective of who stole your song. Imagine you write a song and somebody else steals it and goes to make money with it. Yeah, it happened before on campus. Someone had a project idea and then the friend discussed with the friend. The friend hijacked the idea and used it for a project and registered it quickly before the originator. You know what you do? And you just stay there, you're bitter, you're grumbling. Your destiny is just wasting away. It doesn't matter who stole your song. It doesn't matter who made it worse. You are the one that is responsible. And anytime the devil wants to stop your destiny, he will try to get into your mind. Yeah? And weaken you, you know, from within. And that is where the battle is. Amen? And prayer will help you. Amen? Let me just round up on that. I wanted to open up to other things, but I think I said enough. The Holy Spirit will expand. So I want to encourage you today, prayer. You know, as a pastor, one of the things that has helped me and I've felt all along is that I've always felt that I could never make it without prayer. And every time I felt down, because you do feel down, If you're in any leadership position, yeah, you can know how isolating it can be at times. Yeah? You know, if you are driving any vision, even if you are opening a business or a company, it can be a very, very isolating thing. And if you are not careful, you can be overtaken by depression. Amen? But the key is prayer. Every time you're feeling challenged, every time you're feeling down, every time someone has wronged you, just turn it back into prayer. Amen? I tell people, take a walk. Take a walk. A walk can save your life. A walk can save your marriage. A walk can save your destiny. Take a walk and pray. Hallelujah. Just pray. That's the key. Pray. Hallelujah. Pray. Instead of moaning, grumbling, being sad, being bitter, pray. Hallelujah. I said something. Say, if you can't sleep, if you are fighting with sleeplessness, you know what you can do? When you can't sleep, pray. After the devil noticed that, this sister is converting this problem into prayer. The sleep will start returning quickly. Amen. Pray. 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 Bible says, let us watch and be sober. Be clear-headed. You know, I always tell people, I said, you know, as a Christian, God has not called you, you know, to be drinking. He has called you to be sober. You have to be clear-headed. That's what it means. I don't want to be involved in anything that will dull my senses. I want to be alert. Do you understand? Because it's when men sleep or when men are not alert that Satan can operate maximally. Amen. You got to be prayerful. Both personally and with the church. Pray. Because it's a fight for your destiny. And your destiny is not about money alone. It's not about your health alone. It's not about, you know, all the good things of life alone. It's about the plan of God for your life. Because when you appear before God, it's not going to ask you how much money you made. It's not going to ask you how many children you had. It's not going to ask you how many jobs you did or not. I don't know, for example, if you've been working in the UK, maybe, I don't know, maybe 8 years, 10 years, can you sit back and calculate how many thousands of pounds have passed through your hands? And how much remains with you now? Have you thought about it? And that's how your life is just going? You understand? So it's not just about those things. When you appear before God, they will ask you about his plan for your life. Because God has a plan for your life. And that's how he will judge you. He will not judge you based on any other thing you achieve or not. It's going to be based on how you perform with respect to that plan. Amen. Let us pray. I just sing that song again. Prayer is the king. Prayer is the king. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. Let's just sing one more time. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the king. Prayer is the king. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master king. Just talk to God this morning. Rededicate yourself to him. I want you to rededicate yourself to being watchful and being sober, being alert, being clear-headed, you know, giving attention to prayer, to the word of God, to the spirit of God, to fellowship with believers. These are the four ways we can be watchful. You know, there are more than four ways, actually. But in prayer, in the word, in the spirit, in fellowship, in evangelism, we can be watchful. Because as we do these things, we will stay alert. As we do these things, we will be clear-headed. It becomes more difficult for Satan to get an advantage over us. Because it's our enemy. He's going about. He's seeking whom to devour. But that will not be your portion. This morning I just declare in Jesus' name that every area in your life that Satan has found a stronghold, I stand in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke that stronghold. I declare, let that stronghold be shattered, be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Every work of the flesh that is holding you bound, let the power of God be released to break that hold in the name of Jesus.